Almighty and ever gracious God, we do give you thanks and praise for inviting us into this place today. Father, so capture our attention with your word. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and bless us. I pray in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. I have to be honest with you, every time I hear our national anthem, I can't help but be reminded of when I was a little boy. And coming from a military household, the national anthem was something special for us as a family. I'll never forget when I got at the age in which I could stay up to watch late-night TV with my father. And this was back in the days when we only had three television channels. And back in those days, the great thing about only having three television channels was there was a starting and an ending every single day. There wasn't a 24/7 news cycle. And every night after the late night Johnny Carson, I would be sitting there on the couch with my father, who would be sound asleep in his Archie Bunker Barco lounger. And as soon as the late night TV was over with, the TV channel would all of a sudden show the picture of a flag, and they would begin to sing the national anthem. My father would jump up out of the chair, startling even me, as he would then place his hand over his heart, and he would sing the song. I can't tell you what it meant for me as a little boy to look up at him. And there are many times in my life in which I did, but particularly at those times of great honor and sacrifice that he represented for the military in our country. Just about 3 months ago, when I was preparing myself for my first month of sabbatical, and somebody once asked me, what exactly is a sabbatical? And if you look at the word itself, the root word of sabbatical is the word Sabbath. And in particular professions, they allow us to get away and to recreate or to recreate. And here at St. Martin's, it is no different. And there are three things that I wanted to do in my first month. I wanted to disengage, disconnect, and rest. Well, I don't know about you, but disengaging and disconnecting in our culture today is quite difficult, especially when it comes to the concept of technology. And I remember telling my boss that I was going to be getting rid of my cell phone and my iPad, and I wasn't going to use the computer at all. In fact, I was going to even take a fast of all internet. And I have to be honest with you, those first couple of days were not easy. I felt like I was in detox. I realized that I had a problem and I was addicted to technology. And yet there was nothing more freer than being able to walk away from it. And granted, it took about 4 or 5 days to get to that point. But it was amazing what I began to see. And I began to hear. Not only did I want to disengage, disconnect, but most importantly, I wanted to rest. I wanted to be still. I wanted to be quiet. And I wanted to listen. Knowing how difficult it is to escape the busyness of our world, I thought the greatest place for me to find that rest was to leave my environment. So I signed up to stay at two different monastic communities, one on the East Coast and one on the West. And for 2 weeks, I spent my life living as the monks lived. First monastery I went to, the first couple of days, actually the first day that I went, the little old man came up to me, monk who had been there for over 40 years, and he said, what are you searching for? What is it that you need? And I looked at him, And I thought about those questions. And I simply said, I need to hear the voice of God. And then he smiled. I then asked him if they could teach me how to pray. To pray not with words, but in listening. Those first couple of days I spent living in their community, living their rule of life. 7 times a day they would gather in their chapel to pray. And between those different prayer hours, they worked within the community. They were self-sufficient. They grew their own food. They made their own clothes. And it was one of the most peaceful settings I had ever been in. When the 4th day came, I decided that for 4 of those 7 days, I wanted to live in what they called the cave. And it's a hermitage of sorts. They had dwellings outside of the monastic community in which you would be isolated from the world. And for 4 days, I chose to be isolated. Every morning they would come and they'd deliver my daily ration of food on a tray. And they'd lay it outside of my door. And on each of those trays, each and every morning, they'd give me a 3x5 card. And on those cards was a word. And for those 4 days, they invited me to dwell on that word. To listen. To meditate. To pray. And to journal. After 4 days of that, I entered back into their community and I began to see them in a whole different way. I noticed the smiles on their faces and the joy in their hearts. They had something which was quite contagious. And in many ways, I could see Jesus in their lives. They knew him, and he knew them. And I took away from that experience in desiring that when people looked at me, they would see not me, but that they would see Jesus. When we look at today's gospel passage, we look at just a very small portion of a greater discourse. And in the Gospel of John, we know this is Jesus' final discourse from the beginning of the washing of the feet to Jesus' magnificent prayer, not just for his disciples in chapter 17, but for the church and for you and for me. Whenever I read scripture, I try to use one of the gifts that I believe that God has given to each of us. And that is the gift of imagination. And I try to picture exactly what is going on. And in this particular situation, we see that Jesus is surrounded by those closest to him or his disciples. And this is his final chunk of time with them before he is arrested and he is carried off. Scripture tells us that not only was Jesus troubled at this time, but so too were his disciples. Because you see, they were hearing news for the very first time that this master or their Lord was going to be leaving them in just a matter of days. I don't know if you've ever been around someone who was close to death. I'll never forget when I was called home, when my brother called me to tell me that my dad had just been diagnosed with cancer and that he had all but 5 days left in his life. And I'll never forget when I arrived at that hospital room and myself and my mother and all my siblings were standing around his bed. And we were standing there in disbelief. We were confused. We were scared. Here was the rock of our family, and his days were numbered. And as he lay there in his bed, he just simply offered us words. Words that at the time I don't think I really heard, but words today that I live by. He provided us instruction. He encouraged us. And he blessed us. And you see, my father stayed faithful all the way until his final breath. From the moment that I was born, he took his responsibility seriously. And he knew that his only job was simply to plant seeds. To plant seeds in my life, in the life of my siblings. Knowing that even if he didn't see the fruition and the growth of those seeds, that God would. I have no doubt that the disciples, I have no doubt that they thought a lot like we thought, standing around my dad's bed, trying to listen to these words, important words, and yet not really getting it, and it not really sinking in. Jesus knew that. He knew his people, and he knew their hearts. And the underlining theme to everything he told them in this final discourse came down to three words. Love one another. Jesus said, love one another. Those of you that know this discourse know that over 30 times Jesus uses that word love in one form or another. He was so adamant that they understand this concept of love. And in many ways, I couldn't help but think why. He had spoken about love throughout his ministry, but why all of a sudden in this final discourse is it so important to him? And I have to believe this, that there is no more important word than that word, love. Jesus knew human nature. And as hard as we try to love, he knew that for us in and of ourselves to love was impossible. And he didn't want his people to be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Not only did Jesus not want his followers to be troubled, but he didn't want them to think that he was abandoning them. And so in this wonderful passage today, we see him giving us a gift, the gift of his Holy Spirit. In our translation, it says advocate. And in other translations, they define the Holy Spirit as the comforter and the teacher and the counselor. And yet some scholars believe that that is not sufficient, that the word paraclete in Greek really means a person who is sent in your greatest time of need. Jesus knew that we as human beings were needy every minute of every day. He knew that we needed help, number one, in receiving love. And he knew that we were needy when it came to giving love. And so Jesus, being Jesus, had all the bases covered. And by giving us the power of the Holy Spirit, it was his way of telling us that he's not abandoning us, but he is with us. Richard Rohr, a Franciscan monk, in his book, A Naked Now, writes a wonderful passage about the creation stories. As we all know, God created each of us in His likeness and His image. And Richard says that is such an important truth for us as people of faith, because being made in the image and likeness of God means that God's DNA is in each of us. So we should never question His presence. Unfortunately, we as human beings, we entrap that presence called the Holy Spirit. And because of our need to control and to be in charge, we literally squash it down. And what Richard Rohr is telling us, that we need to let it go. That we need to let the Spirit help us and guide us and comfort us, especially when it comes to this concept of love. Scripture teaches us the disciples couldn't hear anything of what Jesus had to say. And yet it wasn't until after His death and His resurrection that the Spirit was released. And the eyes were opened and the ears were cleared. And the disciples began to understand. And so if there are three things that I believe Jesus is teaching us, not only in this passage today, but in His final discourse, the three things are these. Number one, that God Himself looks out for us. And it couldn't be more clear than in this example of this final discourse. God, being the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, cares for His flock. And He is always looking out for us. The second thing that we learn is that not only does God look out for us, but God provides for us, especially in our greatest need, whether it's to receive love or to give love. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit to encourage us and to remind us that God is with us. And finally, the third thing that we learn in this final discourse is that God leads us. That no matter where we are in life with that compass that we call the Holy Spirit, if we will just get out of its way, He will lead us. And He'll remind us of that important word, that word that Jesus focuses on, that word of love. In many ways, I can't help but wonder, why does God go to all this trouble? And I can't help but think it's because, my friends, we are worth that trouble. He did it because He loves us. You know, the number one question that I got from so many of you when I returned from my sabbatical was, did God speak to me when I was away? And I said, yes, He did. And you know what? If you listen carefully, if you're still, our God has a word for you. Listen. He is speaking. Amen.
Amen.